Be here tonight. And she has the flu, okay. And next on the agenda is citizen input. And that's for any citizens that would like to address the council on issues that are not on the agenda tonight, but that are council business. If you raise your hand, I'll give you up to 5 minutes. Okay, looks like we have nobody on that one. Do I hear a motion for the approval of the agenda?
I'll make that motion.
Ken Johnson first. Second. Mark Snyder second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed the same? Okay, that passes. Now do I hear a motion on the consent agenda?
So moved.
Charles first. Ken Kaler second. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 All right, any opposed the same? Okay, that passes. All right, 4.1, resolution to allow all city classic car show on July 15th and 16th. Eamon?
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Tonight you're being asked to approve a resolution to approve a facilities use agreement with the All Classic Car Group Club. This is an annual event that we look at every year. They used to utilize the front of City Hall for their staging area on Friday nights. They changed that a couple years ago and are using the South First Avenue. The city police chief has approved this again this year. Secondly, they use the Kiwanis Park on Saturdays, and if you've attended, you know that they put on quite a show, and there's lots of tourists that come, lots of out-of-city people that bring their cars here to show. The facility use agreement considers the expense by the city for porta-potties, garbage, and police services if needed. That total is about $400 for the porta potties and $200 for garbage. A member of the All City Classic Car Club is here if you have any questions. Jack Purdy, is that right, Jack? Yeah, thank you. Is here if you have any questions. Otherwise, you are being asked to approve the resolution as presented.
Any questions? Okay, so do I hear a motion to approve the resolution authorizing use of city property and right-of-way for the All City Classic Car Show scheduled for July 15th and 16th, 2011?
Make that motion.
Mark second. Snyder first, Dan second. Any further questions? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed the same? Okay, that passes. You guys might want to call
thank
Guy
you.
Graber. Did you hear what he brought into town?
No.
Get a hold of him.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
He's got a nice little Cobra.
It's like, woo.
Yeah.
Yep.
Seen that today.
Oh, you got to see it? Oh, okay.
You even promised me a ride.
All right. 4.2, change order number 2, Lions Park Lighting Project. Larry and Terry.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Talking about change order number 2, Lions Park project, there were some things that had to be changed out in the field for the lighting project here. The original wiring and controls were not to current code, electrical code. Contractors had to replace parts of the existing system to meet Washington State Labor and Industries electrical inspection requirements. This is not in the bid. Also, the contractor needed to install additional wire and controls for the Lions Park lighting. Install a new control panel with a locking handle on the outside door. Provide 24 additional keys to the new cabinet. Staff's recommendation to council is to accept the change order as listed above.
You want to explain that panel now? How when you turn on, you're only turning on one?
The original panel, you could basically walk up, turn a key on, and if you had a key, you could turn on all four fields and punch the buttons and they would light. And then you could walk away, and they'd still be lit until the master clock. This box has been upgraded. The other one was kind of basically unsafe due to the fact that everybody could kind of get into it, run the master switch, because there's a key on it that allowed you to do that, which is not what the standard requires for the electrical code for the public. So the box that we have now has a lockable handle outside, as well as your barrel keys on the inside. Temporarily, there's four barrel keys there, switches, and eventually there'll be four of them put in that actually have a cylinder that locks them into place. So when you turn them on, you can't just turn them on and pull your key out and walk away. You have to go back to shut the light off on each one of those. You also have an outside door key. When you're done, you lock the door and go on about your business.
So they are changing that, those cylinders, huh?
We're going to change those. They haven't come in yet, but we'll change those and they'll have keys that'll match everybody.
Did Doc tell you anything about what I mentioned, where you would actually screw from the inside out and hang and just basically mount keys down inside that panel to where all they have to do is put them in and insert them? So you know, then you're only operating off the outside box key, mm-hmm. instead of having a bazillion keys, maybe. Well, I mean,
that's an idea.
And then you can control that box a lot more.
Yeah, the inside panel where the switches are, you can't get in behind that to reset the timers to the field lights or the master clock timer, which shuts it totally off at 11 o'clock right now as we speak.
Because it's 2.5 hours of the time.
It's 2.5 hours per play on each field. So you walk in, you turn it on, you got 2.5 hours to play the game, and then the lights shut off. So there's individual timers, which run the old box, and a master clock, which runs the whole set. It shuts them off at 11, turns them on at 7 p.m.
Is there a way to maybe start some player internally, get them to start at 8 and shut off by 11 at the latest?
Yeah, we can move the master clock so that you can turn your lights on at 8. Are they coming on too early? Or?
You know, 2
7's a little early.
Yeah, 7's a little early because the first week was last week for the league. And I got a lot of, not complaints, but they understood, hey, you know, we're just happy we're back on them. I said, they got to work the bugs out of them. But if they're coming on at 7, they're going off at 9:30.
Right.
Some of those games aren't finished until 10:30.
Okay, so we can move that master clock back so they start a little later, an hour later.
And
at
for the most
tip.
Part, I
yeah.
mean, it's about 7:45 is when it's been getting to where you're going to need
okay.
one, I think. So if I think
okay.
you can play with that happy medium of about 7:45,
yeah,
I
we
think
can
it should make it work.
Yeah, the nice thing about this new system is that you get a key and it only turns one field on. You can't pull that key out, like you said.
Right.
So yeah. we're not finding all the fields on and one team playing in one field like we were in the past. So we should see an energy savings
yeah.
over this whole deal.
2 and 4 should be the only fields that are on during 3 nights a week unless they're rented.
So that's going to be really nice. Any other questions for Terry? Any questions from citizens? Spent a lot of money on that field, and it's getting really nice. So, okay. Thanks, Terry. Barry, do you have any comments on that, or?
I think Terry did a good job explaining it.
Great. Okay, so do I hear a motion to accept change order?
I'll make that motion.
Ken Johnson first.
I'll second.
Charles is second. Any further questions or discussion?
I just want to say that I am disappointed that we run into stuff like this when both the engineers who put together the bid and the people that bid had full access to that equipment, and that nobody figured out beforehand that we weren't up to code and it wasn't in the bid and it would cost us $5,000 more. That's my only comment.
Okay.
I'll add to that. I think the same thing. If something's not up to code, that it should have been addressed prior to a change order. I mean, normally when you're going through things, you know what is code and what is not code. And if it wasn't, it should have been addressed in that original. I can see the additional portion as far as the added locks and things like that. I don't have a problem with that. But some of this stuff that when it's code, why, we all know that it's got to be, when you do something new to something, it has to be back up to code, and it should have been in the original contract, at least that portion of it.
Correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't it the engineers that looked at it? And it's electrical, right? You're not an electrician, right?
No.
No access to it, though.
In discussing this with the contractor, he had mentioned
even didn't see it until they had torn the box apart.
I mean, at the end of the day, what you save by putting that box in and making it a little bit more dummy-proof is going to be a lot greater than $4,000 or $5,000. I mean, this is a good thing at the end of the day, because we're going to be able to control it. Because Mark's right. How many times did both of us drive home and we couldn't see the whole Hiawatha because the park was lit up?
Nobody's there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a savings. I mean, granted, we're going to take it on the chin on the front side, but it's going to be a savings.
At the end of the day, you're absolutely right. It will benefit the city. And what you did see, what's behind the curtain, is the actual cost was about $9,500. The difference, you know, made. So.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same? Okay. That passes. Thank you, Terry. Resolution accept the Lions Park lighting project. Larry and Terry?
Public Works and Grant Osborne have agreed that the Lions and Kiwanis Parks lighting project is now complete. Prater Electric Incorporated as a contractor. We formally request that the council accept the completed project. The staff recommends council accept the project as complete.
Any questions for them?
Doesn't that include the new lux?
Sure.
So it's not quite complete, but it will.
It will be. I'm waiting for those. They're supposed to be here this week, and they said they'd be back to put them in. So.
So that's up to the council. Okay. Mark.
I think we're a little premature on this. One thing that I never saw is after they put the lights up, is somebody go up there and adjust them at night? Was that done?
They were
adjusted on the cross wires, and then they put the poles up. They have little indentations, what do you call
them? Lasers.
Yes, and they're preset before they go up.
Yeah, they were schematically done.
Where they do measure those on the ground, when they're lit, they have certain percentages at each little square foot on the playing field. That's what they measure the light.
Was that done at all?
Yeah, they started, actually, home plate is the X and Y coordinate point, the zero point for all of their calibrations. And in fact, when the three of the poles were moved because of moving the fence in the southeast field and the drywall in the northwest field, representative from Musco Lighting recalibrated calculation wise, got the new information to the contractor so they could do those adjustments as they were installing the new poles. So yes, they have been calibrated. It is zeroed in, if you will, to home plate, and they have checked that we had there's a chart that shows, like Amy says, pretty much every square foot of the field. And at certain points, it says how much percentage of the light is supposed to be lit at that particular spot on the field.
Yeah, but has anybody physically walked out there with some kind of gauge and measured that?
Yeah. Contractor did, we had our inspector out there, and they were doing it.
The other thing I noticed was the new lights out in the outfield are only sets of 5, and the old lights are sets of 6.
When Musco put the old lights in, they're a slightly different brand. I think that the candle watt power, I believe is what they call it, it equates to about the same, more efficient bulbs.
Okay. Yeah, technology and lighting, we see that at work, but Evergreen Implement is absolutely incredible. How it's speeding ahead and using way less watts and everything, it's incredible.
Yeah, those lights are pretty nice on the field. When you're standing on field, they're as nice as the first set.
The other thing, didn't this bid include security cameras? Are those all up and running?
Yep. Those are all installed as well.
The final thing I have is they got rid of the 2 street lights that were inside the park at Lions Field around the concession stand, and they put in their own security lights. which are, to me, like looking at somebody welding. They are bright. I don't know if the softball guys commented on those.
You don't even notice them when the lights are on at all.
Okay.
When I know what you're talking about when they're on.
I mean, from my point of view, when I drive by 7th, I can look out and see, but when I look out my house, I used to be able to see activity over there. Now that light's in my eyes, I can't see anything. So I don't know if we've accomplished what we've actually wanted to. And I swear I see dots after looking at that light. So I guess if follow up with that, look at that those lights.
We can always adjust those. Those are all adjustable.
Maybe point it down a little bit. So I'm surprised the guys in the outfield of softball hasn't said anything about that.
No person's mentioned it. They're happy to have a field.
I bet if I put it in their head, it would bother them.
It's probably the same light as the pulse, if you don't see it.
I heard it was home field advantage for the home team to know what it was. The opposing team doesn't know.
Well, actually, I'm guessing, maybe it's on a timer, but if they come on by the degree of light, when the ball field lights were on, the street lights used to go off. It was bright enough. But this one doesn't, these two security lights we have now. So maybe we could look into adjusting that, too, because there's no sense of those being on if the ball field lights are on.
Amos?
Mayor, Councilmember Spohr asked about the cameras. Yes, they were included in the bid. Yes, they are completed at Lyons Park. It also included cameras at Kiwanis Park. And our IT guy and Terry and contractor have been working on those. There's one that needs adjustment, but they're up in Kiwanis Park. So, except for the one, it's completed.
Well, I start out by saying I think we're premature on this, which I don't know. I'm kind of contradicting myself because I did sign the warrants to pay them, but I don't know if I'm giving them their retainer. And I don't think they should be getting a retainer yet.
Retainers would not be released. Typically, there's a 60-day time period once the project's accepted before retainers can be released. There's a number of forms that have to be issued from state agencies the city has to receive. They have to complete their affidavit of wages paid form for them and any subs, and there has to be no liens or claims filed before retainage can be released.
So this is not releasing retainage then?
No.
Okay.
And if the council would prefer to hold off until the next meeting, we certainly can. We've been under the impression that the keys had come in at Lyons, but we can certainly hold off. There's nothing that says another couple of weeks won't hurt.
Well, I mean, they were supposed to be ready like the 28th of April for the opening day of the Little League, and they were, but you know, that was only like 8 or 9 days ago. I haven't even gone over and talked to people, see if they like them, if they adjusted right, and so this kind of caught me off guard that to complete it. I guess I'll tell you, you've talked to them, and the guys, no problems with.
I've been there every night that they've been on.
Okay.
Just to kind of see, get a feel. They're happy with them. They're happy with them. We just got to work out the little timing issues.
Okay.
And accessibility. That's the only two things that were any type of factor.
Well, I guess we can hold the retainage if the lock things don't work out and we can't get the camera going then.
Okay. Well, the contractor's done with his part. The adjustment is our IT adjusting it. Okay. So the contractor's part's done.
I didn't even get over to Kiwanis Park. What do we have additional lighting over there? Security lighting is.
Did we put lights? I think we did lights.
Yeah, we put lights up as well.
Okay. Have you seen those at all, Terry, at night?
Or? I haven't been over there at night.
Yeah. I'd like more time if it doesn't hurt to wait till the next council meeting, but I'm just one.
I don't think it hurts. Wait a couple weeks.
The council want to do it? Wait a couple weeks? Bring this back?
Let us
that's
look at
the
it.
23rd, yeah. That's two tables to the 23rd.
Okay. And we'll move this one forward then.
And I'll look, and maybe others will get a chance to look at everything before then.
Okay. Okay, 4.4, discussion of Main Street punch list. Larry? And Taylor, whoever?
Taylor.
Okay.
But as he's given up, we wanted to indicate that contractor is nearing completion. We're not quite done yet. There's still a little bit of work to do on some of the change order items. They are pursuing getting those done. As you can see, striping started. They still have a little bit of work to do. They also have to put down crosswalks, turn arrows, things along those lines, and do some of the side street striping. Yeah, there was some concern over what looks like overspray. Actually, those are glass beads the contractor puts down on top of the stripe for reflective purposes. And we have some here that we just rubbed a post-it note over what looked like the overspray just to show you. But a good strong wind, that's going to be gone. The incomplete work list.
Mr. Mayor and Council, thank you. The punch list, or what we call the incomplete work list, is a list that goes to a contractor towards the end of a job. It's a review of by both the engineer and Public Works to make sure that the contractor has completed all the items that they're contracted to perform. This one, I think Eamon handed it out. It's a draft. We've sent a copy to Terry to look at, so Public Works has a chance to review it, make comment on it, add anything to it that they're interested in seeing added on, or or answer questions they may have. And we invite you to do the same. If you have any questions or comments or would like to see something added, please get a hold of Eamon and we'd be happy to add it to the list. It's typical for a contractor to get an incomplete work list before the job is done. And every item on here has to be addressed and solved before we'd even look at requesting or recommending a project be accepted as complete. And Taylor's here if we want to go through any of the items or if you have questions on your cursory look at it.
And nothing's to say that they haven't already started these.
In fact, they've done a few of the items on it already because we've been talking with them and they're aware of as we've gone through. It's pretty common. You stand up or step over an obvious deficiency, you start writing a note or taking a picture or making a measurement, contractor shows up real quick. So he's aware of a lot of the items on it. They've taken care of a number of the items, especially the concrete work, some of the items that affected the paving, they got that done before they paved.
My general opinion is, when this gets down to like 10, then I'll go look at it and give you my list.
Sure.
This is just overwhelming at this point.
And it's an iterative process. Just because we've given them the first list doesn't mean that we can't add to it. It's quite common as you're going through, you might find something else that you can add to the list. Or as they fix or clean something up, it becomes apparent something else should be added to the list. And quite often we've done that. So typically when we get these to a contractor, we'll add a note that says anything else that's discovered as the job nears completion will be added to a subsequent list.
See, and just in our defense, I was in at 2 o'clock and this wasn't in our box. So it's not like if I bring up stuff, I don't know that it's not already on here.
Oh yeah, there was never any intent.
So
that way we were asked to get a copy ready for council about 3:30 or so this afternoon. It's not gone to the contractor yet. Once we have Terry's comments added to it, we'll probably then get it to the contractor a little later this week. But I think as Charles indicated, they're aware of a number of the items on it and have already started to work on it.
So continuing that, if I don't bring anything up tonight because it might be on the list, that doesn't mean it's not a concern of mine. I guess I'm kind of in between at this point.
Anything else Mark or any council member would like to add to the list, please let Eamon know. Or if you have questions, get your question to Eamon. Be happy to answer them, go through it with you and explain what we saw. Or if you have something to add to it, we'd be happy to add to it.
Mark just wants reassurance that he has time to add to the list.
Yes, he does.
Mark, you got time. You're okay.
In fact,
lots of time.
The drop dead completion date for everything is June 29th. That's the physical completion of all of the traffic signal work. June 22nd is a substantial completion of everything, including traffic signals. So we have a little bit of time there. Although they probably will be done with the traffic signals, they think within a couple of weeks. So please feel free to go through it at your leisure. And if you do have any comments, we'll be happy to entertain them.
Segueing from the traffic signals, once we get those up and running, I've had several discussions previous about how we want to operate those, like timers, the side streets set it. Do we need to get a committee to tell them what we want, or are they going to have suggestions? And I don't want to hire a consultant or a traffic engineer for that. I think we can figure it out ourselves. So how's that process look to you?
They have to provide an operation and maintenance manual. They have to provide training and go through a startup sequence to show how each of the controllers, each of the signals will work, including the pedestrian punch pad and the lighting. There's ways to set everything at a certain time periods, and this contractor does a lot of traffic signals. In fact, when Mr. Burke here in town has questions about 14th, they call Sierra Electric, who are the contractors that put it in, or are putting ours in now. So they'll go through with whoever the city wants as a training, and we'll go from each signal to each signal and make sure that it's set up properly. We'll also have...
I guess at this point we don't know what properly is, so wondering how we get there.
The contract documents did have a number of those parameters in it. Length of time, lights are supposed to be on.
Right.
How, when you push the PED button, it keys the pedestrian crosswalk sign,
right.
Changes the cross streets, the loops, how they'll change as cars come up to the side streets, things like that. And we'll also have our engineer that designed it available on site here as the training is going on, first to make sure that the contractors installed everything correctly, because it's quite complicated to look at those controllers. And he understands it like the back of his hand.
Excuse me, Larry. It's also important to note that with some of the crossings and stuff, there are certain standards that have to be met that aren't necessarily changeable, like ADA compliance standards.
Right. I understand that. Yeah, once.
He's aware of those standards.
We had a big discussion on 4th Street, for example, whether it should be on a timer or it should be activated by a cross street traffic coming up to it. And I understand once you activate it or somebody pushes the PED button, it has to stay green for so many seconds for enough time for people to cross. So.
Sure.
But that's one of the simple ones right there. And what, how are you going to do 4th? And
there will be folks available for training to go through the startup sequences and all the different iterative processes at each light.
Did 11th Street fall off the map for signal
yes,
light?
Yes, about 3 years ago. And we brought that out from there.
So that's going to be gone?
Yes.
That's not a bad thing.
Yes. But a process to get to your question, I believe what your question is, Mark, is, and I remember a few years ago, you timing different intersections.
Right.
And making sure that certain things that you were concerned about, if an elderly lady wanted to cross, she had timing, things like that. The way to do that is once these standards are put in motion, then we take a look at it. If you feel there's something that's not right, needs to be adjusted, setting the policy with the rest of the council, it takes place. And then once the council makes that policy, we make it happen.
Okay.
And it is very important to have staff go through the process of understanding how the signals work, maybe not to the point of making the changes themselves, but having someone like, is it Bill Burke?
Bill Burke.
Available to go through and do that troubleshooting. And the contractor has a 2-year warranty from when the project's accepted as complete to do any warranty type work, any glitches that have to be fixed on their nickel.
No, I swear when I'm down there crossing First and Main, I'm hearing the handicap beep without anybody pushing the ped button. Mm-hmm. Isn't that just supposed to go when somebody pushes the ped button?
The ped button and the cross street also. And that's one of those ADA peculiarities. We had a call about that last week on 4th, I think it was, about how there didn't appear to be any pedestrians out there, but the cars on the cross streets would trigger that beeping. And that's one of those things that if there's a blind person, for example, they don't know how wide the street is, but if there's a car that comes up to trigger it, they know from the beeping they have a certain length of time to hurry up and get across the street.
So there's not a countdown number in the... I see some cities there's a countdown number. There is?
There is. But if you're blind or can't see...
The beeping's for them. Huh?
Yeah. Another one of the ADA criteria.
We talked about, I had a meeting with DOT today at 3:30, and we talked about that very issue and how cities are putting in non-compliant ADA ramps and signals, and they're making a fair amount. If they have Fed money attached.
Right.
Which we don't, but...
I just wondered if it was overdone because it's beeping with nobody there. I thought it just beeped when somebody pushed a button.
The cars set it off too when they cross the lanes.
Yeah, I don't understand that at all, so we'll have to talk about that later. What does a car pulling up to a crosswalk have to do with somebody in the crosswalk? The car can see the pedestrian.
Right, the car can see the pedestrian, but the pedestrian can't necessarily see the car. So when the car pulls up to the loop, it triggers the light to change. It lets the light know that there's a car there, and so it sets off a timer that the light's going to go green for that direction in so much time. Okay, so a blind person were in the intersection crossing that, he wouldn't know that there's a car there, but he will hear the beep and know that it's going to change.
I don't want to hog this discussion, but on our memo, it sounded like now's the time to get all on the table because it says there has been rumors, conjectures, and criticisms, and we're going to attempt to discuss that tonight. One of the rumors I have heard is that after this project, MRM is folding up as a business.
The owner of MRM has had health problems and has talked about either selling the company or getting out of the business. That doesn't mean that they'd necessarily close, but him as the owner, they may sell to the employees, they may sell to some of their senior staff, like the person we have on site here. We don't know.
Now, he carries a bond, though, for 2 years, right?
They still have
So we're
bonds.
Still covered, if that's what you're worried about.
And that warranty starts when project's accepted as... Actually, it starts at substantial completion. So there's still 2 years to go, and if a company does fold up, the surety company is required to come in and fix whatever needs to be fixed.
Okay. Again, not bringing up stuff that might already be in the punch list, but there's a couple big ones, and one is the washboarding, quote, waffling effect out there. Mm-hmm. It's been explained to me by my colleagues on council that they went too fast, that it was too cold, they had the vibrator on too long, and it was also said that they volunteered to come back, or said they'll come back in hot weather and go across the crossways to smooth it out. So to me, that's an admission that it's not meeting spec. Is there actually, have we objectively decided from an engineering point of view that there's portions of the roadway out there that don't meet spec?
We've looked at by taking a straight edge and laying it across the asphalt, and typically if there's eighth of an inch gap, then it does not meet the technical specs, and we don't have any cases like that. But aesthetically, we feel it does not meet spec, and they're aware of it. They've indicated that they used the wrong type of roller to start with, and once they brought out their pneumatic roller, then they didn't have any problems. I don't know why they didn't start with that, but all along MRM was saying, bring out the pneumatic roller and you won't have any problems. And once CWA did, everything was fine. We talked about what could be done at the time when they did pave. If they heated up the asphalt, there was a chance they could have literally burned the oil up, and then there would have been a much worse problem than there is now. The typical solution in a case like this, especially when you don't want to cut the asphalt out, is to wait for a little warmer weather and do the rolling like you're talking about. Had they started in the summertime rather than spring, they could have taken care of it the next day. But you're right, Mark, it's an issue that we are aware of. It's on the list. We have discussed it with the contractor. They have indicated they will come back.
Well, when we get lawyer to lawyer, though, if it meets spec and we just don't like it aesthetically, we don't have a chance.
I think since the contractor's already indicated they'll come back, and the fact that aesthetics are, I think, as important as anything in the specifications, I think we can hold them to that.
It was brought up in our weekly meeting, it's in our notes. He did admit that, he caught it himself and hasn't been able to come back and fix it, even though it's within tolerances. He will, even in our weekly notes, he'll come back and fix it.
Anything else? I have other things, but I'll let other people talk if they want to say something.
Ken?
Yeah, I got a couple things here. I kind of agree with what Mark, matter of fact, I was talking to him about the idea of what I think went wrong out here on the, as far as the corrugating of that, whatever. And I did talk to Neil about it also. He and I are pretty much in agreement what possibly we can do to make it better and whatever. So I think it's kind of one of those wait and see things and see what happens. Like you say, it is under specs, why it's probably all right as far as if you want to get that paper underneath there and an eighth of an inch under, but it is that washboardy effect. I've got several other things here that I was hoping for this list a little earlier today, but I didn't receive it. But anyway, a lot of my questions here parallel what you've got on your punch list. I might inform the rest of you that we did have a walkthrough on a big portion of this. We had some concerned citizens, we had Public Works, we had our city administrator, I think our mayor was there a short time, a couple councilmen, and our engineers, and we pretty well walked the upper portion of the street, and we found a lot of these errors and problems. Some of them are small items, some of them are large items. We decided to let them go ahead and pave the street, get that job done. It's not going to really affect too much some of these things that we have to tear out and replace. We had some curbs that were not satisfied with it, I think, including the engineers, and it's in their punch list here. I think that's part of the items that you're talking about. And I think that all in all, when we get through with this punch list, plus the few that we'll add to it, I've got a few too.
Good.
I'll add to it, but I think that we'll have a good project when we get
Thank
it all
you.
Completed. I did notice that you have a slight problem down on Broadway with a traffic signal and a light and a power line.
Okay.
I'm not sure what's going on there. You're probably aware of it. I'm not going to get into details, but there's a few new added ones that I have found that we need to take a look at and address.
Good. Appreciate your diligence on it.
You talking about one in the northeast corner?
Mm-hmm.
Larry, there's also a rumor about cold versus hot mix being placed around the valves or something. Can you talk
yeah.
about that?
When the contractor raises the valve boxes and manholes to the new grade after they've put the asphalt down, the city standard is to put concrete around the manholes, but to put asphalt around the valve boxes. And someone had indicated they thought that the contractor was putting in cold mix, which is a temporary patch, instead of hot mix asphalt, which specifications require. And we had our inspector out there with his temperature gauge and verified that as the mix went down, it was 200 plus degrees, which definitely is hot mix.
Well, one of my colleagues who isn't here tonight was very concerned about when we put asphalt around the valves boxes that they were they were humped and mm-hmm. that the snow plow would catch them.
That is also on the list.
Okay.
We were checking each one of them to make sure that the boxes are aligned properly, that there's no debris in them, that you can get to the nut, the square nut on the inside, that the manholes are empty of debris, that everything's been cemented or grouted up like it's supposed to be, and also to go over each of those and make sure that there is no hump. Part of that, I think, is a bit of an optical illusion that you see a depression where the valve box is, because you don't want to hook that box with the metal with the leading edge of the plow. But you also don't want the hump, like you said, so you hit it with the plow. So that is on the list.
Good questions. Any others?
The repairs that were done between the new sidewalk and the existing blacktop at the businesses. At one of the restaurants up here, you drop off of that, it's almost like dropping off the old curb the way it used to be. So you want to address that?
Yeah.
Yeah, Dan, that the contractor is aware of that. That one, his crew got ahead of him and did that. He's going to fix it.
They just, you know, I mean, it's only about 6 inches wide.
It's Casa Mexicana.
Casa Mexicana, yeah.
Yeah.
It's also on the list.
I was wondering about the one down here at the bank, but I think they sloped it off.
Did they? Okay.
Yeah, there's a number of those that are on the list. They're aware of them. They have not gotten to yet.
Okay.
Yeah, they, you know, you talk about criticism and animosity toward the contractor. I mean, they're not doing themselves any favors when they put Main Street in. You know, that was everybody's excited, and then they didn't do the side streets right away. They just walked away from it. So we had 4-inch edges that people had to drive over. There was no bump sign or painted yellow or warning. Now it appears they've walked away again, and behind the new drive he's talking about to U.S. Bank, the kickstand up there. I mean, there's just edges everywhere, and the people are just tired of it. And it just seems to be a total lack of respect for the citizens by the contractor, because you don't see them out there doing anything. And they just leave the edges and walk away, and it's hard on people and their tires, and it's they're not doing themselves any favors.
Larry, if I may, on that is something that the contractor had no control over. The subcontractor, Central Washington Asphalt, they have to have a certain amount of tonnage going out per day or per week before they're going to leave their asphalt plant going. And this time in the spring, they fire it up certain times and shut it down because they don't have that cycle of jobs going right now. And that's why these driveways and stuff have hung out for so long, is because the asphalt plant is actually shut down. So there's nothing that MRM can do to get asphalt to fix those.
Well, the rumor we got is that state's paying them more money and all the asphalt's going to a state job instead of us. So
as long as we're putting
rumors on the table. Plus, in the winter, when the asphalt contractor Moses Lake said they wouldn't give him any more after Thanksgiving or whatever it was, they said they had an alternative asphalt contractor out of Tri-Cities. So, you know, it's just the effort there.
They actually did A and B asphalt, but then it snowed that same week, and even A and B shut down. But your comments aren't falling on deaf ears, Mark. We've been hounding the contractor as well.
I guess my final remark will be, I correctly predicted that the project would not be done by December 26th when everybody told us it would be done. And even if it had been Palm Springs here, based on the amount of work they did in 2011, I don't know how they would have finished. But my next prediction is they're going to give us a bill that they want more money beyond the original contract and change orders approved. Is that true?
Not that we're aware of. They've negotiated the change orders they felt were coming to them. We don't feel there's any more coming to them. We would not recommend any additional work unless it was work the city requested.
Thank you. I'm done.
Any other council members with questions? We have any citizens that would like to ask questions since we have Larry here today?
I don't have a question, but I have a statement.
Okay.
member, citizen of the community, and as a business member, I want...
Excuse me, Sean, could you come to the mic and state your name and address so we can get it on the record? Thank you.
Yes, my name is Sean Logan, and I live at 1005 East Hamlet. And as a member, as a citizen and a business owner in the community, I first of all, I want to thank the council for deciding to pave Main Street because it needed it. And it had needed it for a number of years. I also want to thank the council because there were a number of decisions they made to improve Main Street with the additional sidewalks and driveways and then going back through in the alleys a half a block off of Main Street. And so you guys used some wisdom and some insight to try and make this community better, and Main Street's our showcase entrance, and I appreciate that. But as a citizen, and I'm not offering criticism, I'm offering disappointment, because that would probably be the best characterization of what's happened with the construction of the project. We're disappointed in some of the things that Mark said. It seemed that there was a lack of respect for our citizens with a number of the, they would come in and they took off part of the asphalt, and then in the side streets with that, it was a long time before anything was really done about it. And there were times that you go down Main Street and holes, especially this winter, it was terrible. It was awful. It got to the point nobody even wanted to be around. And then you look at how we started having sidewalk problems at Sterling Savings, and we didn't stop and do something definitively to prevent further the construction of the sidewalks and the curbs as it went and it marched up towards 14th Avenue to do something about the standard. And so what I'm really talking, what the citizens are disappointed with, it's the quality of work. Where's the pride of workmanship anymore? And it's disappointing for us to have waited this long, and then kind of the final straw, you drive down and it doesn't matter whether you're in front of Leprechaun, you're in front of City Hall, or you're headed down here. It doesn't kind of seem to really matter much where you drive through. If that's the standard and it meets the technical standard, then I'm disappointed in the specifications that were written, because they should never have allowed that. That should never have been allowed. Really, look at the amount of money that the citizens of the community, that the taxpayers of the community, you guys appropriated it, but we trust you with that money. You guys spent a lot of money on this project. But where is the pride of workmanship in it? You drive down it, and there just really isn't. And so as a citizen, I'm disappointed. But yet at the same time, I'm hopeful, because at some point you just have to believe and trust. And so I'm trusting that I don't want to be a problem. I'm just stating it's my disappointment, but you guys are watching, and I appreciate that. Mark and Kenny and Charles and Danny and Mark. I kind of realized we had so many Marks around here, but and Kenny's and but and Tim you're looking out for us, and I appreciate that. You aren't satisfied, I know that, and I guess if there's one thing we all learned, we need to take a closer look at our projects, that as we go forward and we're looking at them, that we can prevent something that we learned something. And what we learned is that we need to pay more attention. And probably that's it. Other than that, I guess I think I've spoken enough. But again, I don't want to leave on that note. I want you to know that we do, as a community, we put our trust in you and our faith in you, and I do appreciate you guys, what you did, because you did go above and beyond, and I didn't even mention the part about the city beautification, because we really do appreciate that, and what the groundwork with the water and the electricity that was put in each place. I mean, really, that shows some forethought. So with that, I've said enough. Thank you.
Thank you, Sean.
One positive note is one of your concerns, Tim, on Broadway, where it was tearing up, because the seam was right where people drove. It appears after they striped, the seam is right in the center of one lane. So that looks like it'll last a lot longer, because that seam's not being driven on. We did. I don't know if it was lucky or good planning, but it looks good for that.
It should be planned that way.
Any other citizens have a question or a statement? Okay, and we'll move to where are we at? 4.5, 14th Avenue Improvements. Larry and Amon, or Taylor, whoever.
Hello again. There was a meeting held last week with the city and the school district, and I think some of you are aware the school district's looking at work out adjacent to 14th, some of their schools. There's also movement from private developers to develop some land on the west side of 14th. And I believe at one time a few years ago, staff came to council to discuss how they wanted 14th Avenue to progress as far as a widening, basically turning it from a rural road to a city street. And nothing happened during the interim, but there's movement again. And it just seemed a prudent time to bring the subject back to the city to review what could be done on 14th, and especially the timing of it. There is not sufficient development to have the developers widen both sides of 14th, the entire length of 14th, from Cemetery Road to SR 26. The school district would be required to develop down to basically where Scutney would come across. Sagestone 7, or excuse me, Ashwood Notch would be the next development on the west side. That would take it down to where Sagestone 7 would develop, also on the west side. But then there's a section of road down to SR 26 that has not been developed, and everything on the east side, south of about Scutney, would not, or there's no one there to develop it. So I think the question posed is, does the city still want to do 14th as one project, do a portion of it as developers come up and say, yes, we are developing a portion of the street, or the ground surrounding it, and then subsequently the street on their side of center line. And I think the intent was just to get into a discussion, not necessarily have any council action unless council wanted to, but to get you thinking about how we wanted to proceed with 14th. And I believe there was a drawing as one of the attachments that showed a boulevard concept. Thanks, Mike. This was developed some years ago that shows four travel lanes, a center turn lane, curb gutter sidewalk on both sides of the road, a planter strip, and then an area for utilities, particularly power poles, back behind the sidewalk. As the developers come up and discuss with the city what they would need to do to meet city requirements, this is one of the drawings that they're given as an idea to look at for 14th. I don't think it's cast in stone, but it's something that the city could look at as a gateway entrance to the community.
What's driving this is really the school district improvement, or is the
new school at the corner of Cemetery and 14th. The school district has asked the city, what are the plans for 14th? Because we have indicated to them that they'll need to make improvements. The last decision by the city council was that the 14th from Cemetery to 26th would be one project. We would not piecemeal it. The council has deferred two other developers their improvements to 14th for that very reason. I just want to know and feel comfortable that from your standpoint, making policy, that I can tell the school district, yes, your project will be deferred until we can all come together and do it as one project. So I just needed to remind the council, refresh your memory, and see if that's still the course of action that you want.
Is this something you want to send to the Planning Commission?
Was it that noticeable?
Yeah.
I didn't say anything.
Your actions.
The school district needs to know an answer. They're under very expeditious time frame to get monies from the state, and they're closing in on that. So they just need to know, will we defer like we have others, or are we going to require them to build it as they build their school project? They really don't care. They just want to know which way we want to go.
But what if we only defer it 2 years? Are they prepared to have funds to?
Yes.
So
they are, but the other developers may not. You know, we've got Ashford Notch coming on. We've got the Sagestone 8, 9, or 10, whatever it is now. Then we have property owners that are not developing.
Right. So if we told the school district, no, you have to match the development of 14th, we would first have to develop the development,
right.
Decide on what the development's going to be.
Right, at some future time. That's all you need to say is, let's defer as we have with the others. We'll work it out with the school and all the other property owners as we can.
But
that is saying all in one project. Because the school district would step up and do their adjacent property owners right now. They would do that.
I wouldn't even know what to tell them to do.
Exactly.
Does the private developer coming in, extending, what, the Scutney through?
Yes.
Does he have to hook up to 14th at this point? Is that one of the contingencies of his development?
Yes. But there'll be an approach there, but it won't be the ultimate approach when we do the improvements.
Right.
And he knows that.
Yeah, because if we extend everything out, turn lanes, yes, and shoulders, yes, and everything, that's, we're going to cut back quite a bit.
It will, yes.
We also want to think, if we do the project at once, it always gets cheaper.
Yep,
we spend less money. Plus, I hate it when you have a break in the asphalt. You know what happens? It slips. Mm-hmm. You got this banging you hit constantly over time. And to me, we want to do the whole project at once, whatever it's going to be, you know. So the question is, that council sort of feels on that?
Yeah, I definitely feel it needs to be one project. I see where I think it's going to be Gemstone Street will be connecting up here.
Yes.
Soon.
Yes.
And my concern is, I don't want to put this off too far, because now with the remodeling at the schools, increased student capacity at the schools, new school going in, 14th Street is already very, very busy, especially in the mornings and the evenings, and everybody's using it. And all the increased housing that we've had in that area, and then with the other street connecting up, I know there'll be a lot of people using that instead of driving on through further to town to hit Scutney Street until Scutney gets hooked up. I could see Gemstone being used as an access street quite a bit, and I just don't want to defer this too far out because of the heavy traffic that we will be getting.
The school district has completed their traffic evaluation study done by a traffic engineer. There are a lot of improvements in that traffic study that they agree with. The police chief has reviewed it, he agrees with them, and so does Public Works. So that's set to be put in place.
That would be my, besides Ken's concerns. Everybody in your neighborhood going to Walmart's going to go up to 14th and cut over.
Yeah.
So, but my concern, the immediate concern would be the buses, because both 14th and Cemetery Road are pretty wimpy roads as far as width and markings and that. Are they going to do something right away to accommodate bus traffic? Is bus traffic going to be stopped on 14th past Cemetery waiting to turn left into the school, or are they going to do...
There's a plan for that, which really centers on the intersection where the water tank is. So it's really a three-way intersection there. It's not four-way,
right,
because of our water tank, and it's a one-way alley that comes out there. So that is all addressed in the traffic study. But that's the reason, Ken, is not to prolong this. Just tell the school district they don't have to plan for it right now so they get their funding. Let them continue, and then we're all sitting down talking about what needs to be done based on the traffic study now that was done. So we're not talking 5 years. We're only talking a year or so. And that's going to coincide with the completion of construction.
And I know the city's going to want to be, the city's going to have to be one of the major partners on this project, too. And, of course, we're going to have the funding issue that
we have
to work in our budget, yes.
The school district has a tick-tick drop-dead date sometime about, I think, the middle of July, like the 15th of July. They have to have everything in. They don't care if you say no, put it off for 2 years or 3 years, as long as they can put that to the state and say this is what's going to happen, and we have planned for this as far as the traffic study goes, then we're okay. Or are we going to say, okay, we're going to rebuild half of the road because that would be their half, and there we are again, jumping curbs and stuff. So, you know, and what's going to happen with Agwood Notch?
They're going to start building next month.
They are?
Starting to dig work, yeah. They're dig ground, yes.
Will be. Okay. You know, the decision as far as the school district goes, it doesn't really matter to them whether you say do it now or do it in 2 years.
They just need to
say this is what we're going to do. And they have a window where they can apply for matching money for the $5 million they got left over for the project that they did. And that window ends on about the 15th of July. So they have to have that all done.
If you're on the advisory committee for the school budget.
Is the state or the traffic engineers making them do something immediately to accommodate the increased bus traffic?
No, the state has agreed with the traffic plan that was done by the school district.
Excuse me.
Do you know where they have planned now for the buses to turn in? Is it going to be at Cemetery for the new school or past it?
The new school will be past Cemetery.
Yeah.
On the south end, the property lines up with the
map on the
sprinkler hole out there in the middle, straight east, and they will come in and put a jog in it, I think, so that they can match up with Scutney, I think, in the Scutney map.
That's what Cemetery is up here.
And that jog will line them up with, I think, Scutney Street.
Right.
Can you raise it up at all?
I have
what Mike is talking about, thank you. Scutney would come across here, and then they taken a jog down. Here's the school district property line, south property line. So they've taken this jog like this to match their property line. Here's where their buildings are. They're not down on the south end. Okay. Now that leaves this little void here, and the school district originally was concerned about, let's just waste the space. But at the suggestion of our city planner, they have made this their retention pond for drainage, and drainage runs this way. So that's a retention pond, which they're required to have anyway. So that was a good use of it. And they wanted this road to come down here because, well, you can see here's a soccer field and there's a ball diamond right back here. And then, of course, the eastern property line for the school district runs right about here, and we're going to talk about that later tonight.
Halfway between 18th and 19th. What you see there at the jog is a parking lot. The bus loop will come in.
Right here?
Yeah, that's a parking lot.
Right.
The bus loop will be off 14th, north of where Scutney is, right in there.
Right in here.
Bus loop will be in there.
It's a circle drive, isn't it?
It's a circle
Dan? Yeah.
Type thing.
Mm-hmm. Come right in here.
And that's planned so that people who are stopping to pick up their kids will come into the Scudney area where the slant-wise street is there and come into that parking lot and pick their kids up and go back out. And there's only a right-hand turn from that intersection on 14th. So they won't be making left-hand turns onto 14th from Scudney there, or from
really?
Yeah, whatever. But the bus loop would be somewhere else.
Right.
Where kids and parents are driving through.
Isn't there also a bus loop down on Cemetery? There's something about buses down on Cemetery, I recall.
I didn't know if that, I don't know if they're running down Cemetery.
We can give you a copy of the plans, Mark, if you're really detailed.
I'm just concerned, that street, is it the new development that's cutting into 14th, you call it Gemstone?
I think it's Gemstone.
Is that further south of this?
Yes.
See, my concern is all those people are going to be coming Gemstone heading north on 14th, and those buses are going to be coming south trying to turn left into the school, and all these cars on the new road, and it's just going to be a nightmare there.
The real problem is the bottleneck at 14th and Cemetery.
Right.
Because it necks down there anyway.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And there is a solution for that proposed. But those are things we still have to work out with the school district. They just want to be able to tell the state, it's been deferred, it's probably done when construction's done, and that's the action of the city, so they can get their funding. And that's what it's all about, is funding tonight.
Yeah.
So is there a motion somebody would like to make?
I'll go ahead and... Do we need a motion to give them?
You already have said you want the project all done as one project, so you don't need to say that again. And you're consistent in saying when the plans come from the school, you'll say and vote then to defer the street. But they need to know now to get their paperwork into the state as well. So we don't need a motion.
You don't need a motion?
No. You've already done that.
We're just staying with the original motion.
Yes, we decided for your
concept.
Go ahead, Ken.
Would it be necessary for somebody out of here to make or have a committee with some people off the council to work with them to kind of get this thing put together rather than just trying to do it through the planning commission or through the building department? Would it be better if we, as a partner, worked with them to get this thing put together and make it happen?
What he's asking is, would you like the council, if I'm saying this right, Ken, to work at the staff level and do review all of this road evaluation at the staff level at this time or not? Is that right, Ken?
Basically, yeah. I think we're fine with what we're doing right now. Let's go ahead and say, well, yeah, we're going to do something here within 2 years or whatever, so they can do their own. But in the meantime, in that two-year period, us as a council, I think, need to set on one of these committees to work into this as a partner so we can put this thing all together. And rather down here 18 months from now, it comes back to us as a council and say, hey, this is the way we put it together. You like it or don't you? But if we work with them, and I think we ought to start doing this with every project we do in town. Anything that's like 14th Street, Main Street should have been done that way. We wouldn't have had some of these problems that come up down the road after contracts already left. If we could do this ahead of time, and we would be a partner, we'd be working with them, not stuff coming to us and we just act on it. And that's kind of my consent of this.
Well, the one thing I can say about the school district is that they have a large committee that's working on their facilities thing.
Big.
There's like 25 people there.
Yep.
Includes the fire chief, all different organizations that have something to do with the regulations that go with it. A lot of people just, you know, dummies like me that are just listening in to see what's going on, and architects and things. And so they're trying to do their project so that everybody understands what they're going to do. Nobody's going to say, hey, we didn't know that was going to happen. Maybe the city ought to, you know, figure out a few people and get somebody off the street to talk with us also and have our own input into the street thing anyway. And, you know, what do we do with the people that own property up there that say, well, you know, we're not going to do anything because we don't have the money until we sell these places? So, I don't know. I kind of...
Perhaps if we move into this, we can look at that.
Let's look at how we
can
do that.
I'm not sure we're there yet.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure either. We'll sure look at that. It's a good idea. See how we can put that together.
Okay.
Not quite sure. Any other questions? Okay, swim pool use agreement. Damon?
Council reviewed the pool contract with the Barracuda Swim Team at the workshop. There were two recommended changes to that. One was, as we determined, Wednesday was not a need for a swim meet day, so we eliminated Wednesday. And also a no later than date for the termination of the contract. So we have made those changes, and that's presented to you tonight for adoption. The other thing that happened is somewhere along the line, the clause for insurance has been dropped out of this. So if you would adopt this tonight, knowing that we will add that back in, as our counsel pointed out, where's the insurance clause? That got dropped out someplace. So please know we'll reinsert that.
So you want to wait till next time? Do we need this approved right away?
We would like a motion tonight so we can get it to the Barracudas.
Okay.
We can approve it on the condition. We can approve it on the condition that they supply their insurance information.
Okay, so I hear a motion.
Make that motion that we approve the contract with Barracudas on the condition that they supply us with the insurance information and it's in the contract.
Okay, Ken Johnson first. Who was second? Mark? Mark Snyder was second. Any further discussion or questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same. Okay, great. That passes.
Thank you.
Okay, unfinished business. Anybody have unfinished business? New business? Okay, I have some mayor's announcements. The mayor's luncheon this week is Wednesday at noon at the Othello Senior Citizen. John Lackey of the Stevens Funeral Chapel is the featured speaker, so if there's anybody who'd like to come to that, it's at 12 o'clock. And the Othello Police Department line officers will be meeting for mediation with the Union Negotiation Committee on Monday, May 17th. Council members Deaver, Kaler, and Darrow, 9 a.m. at City Hall with Chief Dunnigan and email. Okay? Anybody online know about that? Good. Is there any other announcements that need to be made? Anybody knows it? Okay, we're going to go into executive session, and the council will now adjourn to executive session to discuss property negotiations. We will adjourn for 20 minutes, and it's now 8:15.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
Can we take like 2 or 3 minutes to use the restroom and stuff? Is that okay with you?
Sure, we can do it during the negotiations.